Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. For the past couple of months, you've heard us talk a lot about the issue of housing in Boston because of the Boston's mayoral race. But let's shift our attention to north of the Charles, to Cambridge, where, of course, housing is also a huge issue. And by the way, a tip of the hat here to the Boston Globe's Dante Ramos, who recently wrote about the fact that Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders weighed in on Cambridge's municipal elections. The senator endorsed most of the same candidates, as did the group, the Cambridge Residents Alliance. But here's the thing. Ramos described the alliance as Cambridge's leading, quote, anti-development group. He wrote, Sanders and his local acolytes faced a choice between two groups of self-styled progressives, one group bent on easing the city's housing woes by building more units, and another group defined by its vocal opposition to higher, denser private development, end quote. Again, that is the description from Dante Ramos, and it's a very stark one. But it more than piqued our interest, and we wanted to get a better understanding if such a fundamental divide does indeed exist in Cambridge. So we invited representatives of the Cambridge Residents Alliance and another group called A Better Cambridge. They have both very kindly accepted our offer and are here today, sitting at the table with me. We will be hearing from them back-to-back, though, as they wouldn't speak with us together. So let us begin with Lee Ferris. She's vice president of the Cambridge Residents Alliance and a member of the Envision Cambridge Housing Working Group, and she joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, first of all, let's just start where Dante Ramos left us with his Globe column. I mean, what did you make of his description as the Cambridge Residents Alliance being the city's leading anti-development group?
I would say we're the city's leading pro-affordable housing group. We want more affordable housing in Cambridge. As prices have escalated, the proportion of affordable units has decreased, and we've been working since 2012 to get more affordable units, and we've done that in a number of ways, including pushing for an increase in inclusionary zoning. We wanted that amount of affordable housing to increase from 11.5% to 25%.
And that happened in Cambridge, right?
It happened at 20% because the city did not go along with our recommendation to have a small portion of it be for middle-income units.
Mm-hmm. So let me just get a little deeper into what the criticism in the Globe column was, because really what I want to understand is sort of how visions differ, if they do it at all. Because Ramos wrote that he sees the Cambridge Residents Alliance as being opposed to a large-scale private development that could bring a significant growth in Cambridge's housing stock, such that eventually that should, you know, help take the edge off the housing crisis and expand affordability.
The demand for housing in Cambridge is so strong that it can never all be met in Cambridge. It takes a regional effort, and Cambridge has already been doing really well on increasing housing. We did 6,764 new units of housing between 2010 and 2015, and that already exceeded the MAPC Regional Planning Agency's estimate of what was going to be needed by 2030. So that's not the problem in Cambridge. The problem is, even with the 20% inclusionary, when you get all those new units, you are still not getting enough affordable housing. So we think that effort needs to be focused on directly how do you get affordable housing, such as building affordable housing on city parking lots or requiring the universities to house more of their graduate students so that they won't be competing with regular income residents for the older, less expensive housing.
I see. Okay, so just so I'm sure I understand this correctly, from what you're saying, it seems as if given sort of the current trends in what kind of housing is being built in Cambridge, in your view, that it won't ever be enough to solve the housing problem. And is sort of the subtext here is that it only makes just housing further available to the richest people who would seek to move into Cambridge?
That's what's happening as far as most of what's getting built other than the inclusionary units. So the real effort, there's lots of market rate, luxury priced apartments being built, but there's not enough affordable housing being constructed. So that's where the energy needs to be focused.
Well, so I wonder what you make of the counter argument that some might make, and we might hear this counter argument in a couple of minutes. But I think there are folks out there who would say, well, if you know, because of the inclusionary requirements, that if you increase the amount of housing being built by private developers, when you take the inclusionary housing or the affordable housing built by private developers in aggregate, it might actually lead to more affordable housing than if you just focused on sort of all affordable developments, for example.
That increase through inclusionary housing will be happening anyway without anybody working hard to change the rules. The market is so hot in Cambridge that whether you change the zoning or not, people are trying to build market rate luxury priced housing there. So the only way to get it beyond an 80-20 split in new construction is to focus on affordable housing.
And so tell me more about the idea of using city-owned land.
Well, the city has a number of underutilized parking lots where there could be city parking below ground and there could be affordable housing above ground. And it's located near transit, so it would be really good for low-income families who typically don't have cars as much as better-off people. So there's been a lack of action from the city on that. But there's also just lots of other things that could be done. We could have a citywide zoning overlay that would prioritize affordable housing through increases in density, but not prioritize market housing, since market housing is already being supplied at a level higher than what the regional planning agency said was Cambridge's share.
So, you know, it's sort of a fundamental belief, not just here in the greater Boston area, but we've done a lot of reporting, say, for comparison's sake, between here and San Francisco. And we've had, you know, all the top heads of housing in San Francisco be unified on just one point, and that is they have to build their way out of their housing crisis. There's agreement there. But it sounds like, I don't want to misrepresent what you're saying, but it sounds like perhaps you don't necessarily agree with that, or is it sort of more of how that new housing is planned?
We are already building lots of new market rate housing. So the zoning that exists now and the planning process that exists now is not stopping new development. It's going full speed ahead. It is 10 years ahead of schedule of what the regional planning agency said was necessary. So what is lagging is affordable housing.
Okay. And so you talked about possibilities working with universities and colleges, city-owned land. We talked about the inclusionary development. What about the fundamental challenge? And again, this is not unique to Cambridge. This is a Massachusetts problem. But that sometimes the economics of affordable housing doesn't work because the cost of construction and building and all and permitting is so high here that you need the luxury units in order to help support the affordable units.
It is expensive here, but we've already done things like increasing our linkage fee that provides a lot, many more millions of dollars for affordable housing. And there are other things we can do, like having a real estate transfer fee passed at the state level that each city can set at the level that it wants. That would provide many, many more millions. And doing something like an affordable housing overlay in zoning over the whole city would tend to level the playing field because it would make that land more valuable for affordable housing and not as valuable as it currently is for regular market housing.
So, Lee, just final quick question or two. How divisive is this issue in Cambridge? Is it divisive or are we looking at this in the wrong way?
It has been divisive, but I don't think it needs to be because people in Cambridge are unified that there needs to be more affordable housing. They only differ on how to get there. We don't have regular NIMBYs like people who think affordable housing is going to bring down their property prices. That's not the problem in Cambridge. That might be a problem in some suburbs that are way below the necessary amount of affordable housing already. But we need to work together and find the areas that we agree on and push those hard and get them done because our city council and our city management can be very slow to make changes. It took from 2012 to 26 to 2017 to get the increase in inclusionary housing passed.
I definitely take your point on working together. And that's why the fact that there is a difference of opinion in a place like Cambridge is so interesting. And I think illustrative and something that the rest of the region can also learn from. But I got to ask you, last question. I mean, how is working together going to be possible if I can't even get you guys to talk together and you're just literally sitting here at the same table with
me? We talk together all the time. Okay. I go to meetings of ABC, and people from ABC come to Cambridge Residents Alliance meetings. We have one-on-one meetings. We talk together all the time.
Okay. But just not today, unfortunately.
I thought it would be more effective for us to each have our own pieces of time.
Okay. Well, much appreciated that you were able to give us this time. That's Lee Ferris, Vice President of the Cambridge Residents Alliance and a member of the Envision Cambridge Housing Working Group. Thank you, Lee. I really do appreciate it.
Certainly.
Well, let's turn now to Jesse Canson Benanov.
Benanov.
I'm so sorry I mispronounced that.
It's all right.
He's with ABC or A Better Cambridge, which you just heard Lee talk about. Jesse, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to sort of start where we left off with Lee and move backwards from there. I mean, in your mind, how much of a difference of opinion is there in terms of the best way forward for Cambridge and housing?
Well, look, I agree with what Lee said, that it's a difference of strategy. I think our goals are the same. I think if you look at the mission statements of A Better Cambridge and the Cambridge Resident Alliance, we both talk about wanting a diverse, sustainable, affordable city. Some of those same words are in our vision statement. It's a difference of opinion of how we get there. And for us, we believe there is a major issue of supply. It's supply across the income spectrum. We're strong advocates of affordable housing. I actually work as an affordable housing developer during the day. I serve on the board of directors of an affordable housing developer in Cambridge. We want to increase the supply of affordable housing, but for reasons that we could get into, we really need to focus on market rate housing as well as affordable.
Okay, so let's talk about that because, again, just Boston being what it is, the Goliath, we did focus a lot on housing in Boston for the past couple of months. And I had, both mayoral candidates talking to me about housing. For example, the same issues playing out in Boston. And Tito Jackson was saying, we can't continue to build all that, high-end luxury housing because, in a way, as Lee was just saying, the amount of middle income and affordable housing being built is not adequate and not matching the rate that the luxury housing is built. So in a way, as long as there's that big lag, you're never going to solve the housing problem for people who need it the most. Mm-hmm. So how do you fix that?
Well, here's the situation we have in not just Cambridge, but the greater Boston region, is that we have a lot of demand for housing. I agree, in just Cambridge alone, we're not going to solve the regional housing crisis. But we have so many people that are moving to Cambridge and other parts of our region for the universities, for the tech industry. And often these are higher income folks that have more expendable income that can bid up the cost of housing and compete with existing working class, low income and middle income residents. When you pit higher income folks against lower income folks in a competition for housing, the higher income folks will always win. And that's why we need to build, in addition to affordable subsidized housing, we need market rate housing to take those people out of competition. We need projects like the North Points in Kendall Square and development near Alewife and other large, mostly market rate developments in order to avoid that competition and make sure we preserve the existing stock of lower cost wood frame housing for working people.
So I take your point on that. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's multiple forces when it comes to the ever-increasing escalation of housing price. That competition is one of them. But then there's also just the absolute value of the stock available for middle income and lower income Cambridge residents.
Well, so when you hear Lee and the Cambridge Resident Alliance talk about affordable housing production, they focus a lot on the percentage of housing. We like to of affordable housing. We like to focus on the number of affordable homes, the number of new below market rate housing units created. 20, 25% of 50 units is still less than 20 or 25% of 100 units. We believe that creating higher density mixed income communities near transit is a way to create more total numbers of affordable housing units. We've advocated, we supported, just like the Cambridge Resident Alliance, the 20% inclusionary zoning. For us, having the opportunity to increase the density and the number of total market rate units built actually means that we would have more affordable units. So that's really what we've been focused on, the number of affordable units rather than the percentage. Over the last 5 years, groups in Cambridge, including the Cambridge Resident Alliance, have opposed developments, mixed income developments at various parts of the city that I, on the back of the envelope, believe include up to 500 units of affordable housing under inclusionary zoning. This is in Kendall Square, Central Square. They've opposed or raised serious issues. We want to increase the total number of affordable units.
So what about, again, this is a complex issue, and I never pretend that we're going to solve it in a couple of 8-minute conversations, and I just want to acknowledge that. But I, you know, I also sometimes I wonder about the ripple effect that a big surge of high-end housing has on not just that building, but, say, the neighborhood around it. Mm-hmm. Is there the possibility that with, you know, having higher numbers of luxury end housing go up in Cambridge, that you're actually really making entire neighborhoods become unaffordable where the, once they were?
Mm. Yeah, so there's probably not enough research on this topic, but there is some. There's some work that came out of University of California, Berkeley, looking at the impact of creating market rate units versus creating affordable housing units. The study concluded that both are critical to increasing affordability and supply in communities like San Francisco, like Boston, with high housing demand but low production. And what they actually also said in that study was that there is an effect of decreasing the cost of housing on a regional level, but not local. The issue is that they defined regional as really a census tract, which for folks that don't know the way the census works, that's really on the neighborhood level. A census is tract is tantamount to a neighborhood. So there is research showing that creating market rate and mixed income housing does decrease the cost of housing in neighborhoods.
Hmm. Well, I wonder if, you know, given sort of how people live and work in the greater Boston area, there are some people who are going to live and work in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are going to live in Cambridge and work in Boston and vice versa and all the sort of surrounding towns. However, our towns aren't very good at really talking to each other and creating regional plans. Yep. I mean, isn't that something that we ought to be seriously considering?
This is a regional crisis. I agree that Cambridge, Somerville, Boston, some of those core communities alone cannot solve this crisis. We need the Newtons, the Brooklines, the Actons, other places to step up. You know, I've spent quite a bit of time at the State House over the last year or so advocating for statewide zoning reform, for requirements that every municipality in the Commonwealth have zoning for a multifamily development, for apartment buildings, that legalize inclusionary zoning across the state. I and A Better Cambridge have been proud supporters of that effort. So I agree. We need other communities to step up. We need a regional solution to this. We need every community to create apartment buildings. I agree with Lee. We can't in Cambridge do this alone. But when we talk about the MAPC projections, that was assuming that all 101 communities in the MAPC region did their fair share of housing. And that's not happening yet.
Yeah.
And we haven't passed zoning reform or multifamily mandates yet.
Well, since this is radio and listeners can't see, I just want to note that Lee Ferris was shaking her head in agreement, in vigorous agreement, when we were talking about taking a comprehensive regional approach to housing. So I'm going to say that we ended with a point of agreement, and that's a win. So that's what I'm going to call it for this segment here. Jesse Canson Benanov. Did I say that right?
Benanov.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm going to do that again. Jesse Canson Benanov is chair of A Better Cambridge. We also spoke with Lee Ferris, vice president of the Cambridge Residents Alliance. Thank you so much to both of you for coming in today. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.